are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Only 5 days left in the month of February, which means March is very much on the horizon. Only 2.5 weeks until Selection Sunday. So that means that today is Bracketology Wednesday on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Wednesday, February 24th, and joining us once again, and we are so thankful he is, our resident bracketologist, Kevin Sweeney, just hours after releasing his latest bracket for Sports Illustrated, joining us to talk about everything involved in it. Kevin, the title of this bracket, your latest bracketology, was Bubble Watch, teams that improve their stock or hurt their stock on the bubble for the NCAA tournament. So that will be our focus today. But first and foremost, great to have you back on another Bracketology Wednesday.
Thanks for having me as always, Ben. Always love diving into the Big Ten and the bracket with you. So let's do it.
So before we dive into the bubble, 10 teams from the Big Ten Conference in your latest bracketology, a couple one seeds with Michigan and Ohio State, a couple of two seeds with both Iowa and Illinois, but we'll focus on the top tier of the Big Ten Conference a little bit later on. I want to focus on the bubble because that's what excites me right now, just over 2 weeks away from Selection Sunday. And the team in your latest bracketology that you said did the most to help their case for getting into the big dance was Maryland. What about this past week for the Terps allows you to feel that they are secure into the NCAA tournament right now?
Well, we've talked in the past about the primary goal for Maryland. All right, we just got to get over 500, right? Because you said, okay, road win at Illinois, great. Road win at Wisconsin, great. Road win at Minnesota, hasn't aged quite as well, but was still pretty good at the time. Just got to find a way to get over 500. And the two Nebraska wins last week ensured that they were likely going to be over 500. And then they got another really good road win at Rutgers. And all of those factors combined not only have put them in a position where they're going to have, you know, several quality wins, but also boosted their metrics, another top 30 in the net. And you add in the fact that now, you know, that they're going to be clearly over 500. You have to like where this team is heading. I mean, I actually had a pretty interesting exercise I was doing earlier. You know, you blind resume Rutgers and Maryland together. Maryland's one spot ahead in the net. Maryland has one more loss and one more win than Rutgers does. Maryland has one more quadrant one win. Rutgers has two more quadrant two wins than Maryland. But it is far from a deal that you would say that Rutgers is over Maryland. Really, the only reason why they are far ahead of Maryland in most bracketologies is anchoring. You know, people have Rutgers where they are, they have Maryland where they are, and it's harder to move up. And you kind of have to sit back and reset the field. I try to do that, especially every week. And I reset the field and said, man, Maryland is a lock. Maryland is going to the NCAA tournament. So Turge and the boys have punched their ticket. The Spring Lake capital of the Northeast is on fire, baby.
Oh, they're going to be rolling deep into March, as you say, getting into the NCAA tournament. In your latest bracketology, Rutgers a 7 seed, Maryland an 8 seed, as it seems, firmly off the bubble. So Maryland, a really good weekend. Two teams that did not have such a good weekend, both Indiana and Minnesota. How close are both of these teams to having their bubble burst?
Yeah, I was talking about Indiana on another show.
Whoa. Hey, you're our resident bracketologist, all right? You have to ask permission before going other places. God.
But the Indiana loss to Michigan State was more damaging kind of downwind. In a couple of weeks, it will be more damaging than it was individually, right? Like, their resume is still fine. The problem is when you were looking ahead, they really needed that game because of what's still in front of them. Road Rutgers, road Michigan State, road Purdue, home Michigan. It's hard. Are they favored in any of those games? I'm really not sure. And so, you know, they really, really needed that game at home. And the path has gotten exponentially tougher for Indiana to make sure that they're, you know, once again, clearly over 500. The other thing you look at is their resume is entirely predicated upon the two Iowa wins. I mean, the rest of their wins are home wins against not very good teams. They have a home win against Minnesota. They have a home win against Maryland. All right, those teams are in the tournament. But it's really just the Iowa wins, right? And at some point, how much is that going to carry them? We'll see. I mean, Archie seems intent on really carrying us out to the final days here. But in Minnesota, you know, the last thing you wanted to do was, you know, look really, really bad. And they looked really, really bad against Illinois. And again, Illinois, when they play their best, they can make a lot of people look bad. But, you know, the last thing you wanted if you're Minnesota was to, hurt your metrics significantly, which losing by 30 at home does, and B, give people more reason to doubt your legitimacy. And that's what's happened. So I think at this point, I think Minnesota needs to win a road game. I think they got to beat either Nebraska or Penn State on the road. Might need to win both of them. I would say probably one of those. And then as long as they beat Northwestern, Rutgers at home, they'll be fine. But They also seem intent on making the path as difficult as possible. So
you asked if IU was favored in any of their final four games. According to KenPom, only in one, the road visit to Michigan State, but he only has Indiana winning by two in that game. So it's going to be a very dicey road to try to get into the NCAA tournament in the state of Indiana for those Indiana Hoosiers. We talked about Rutgers compared to Maryland. Rutgers lost to Maryland on Sunday, two straight losses for Steve Peichel's crew. Should fans of the Scarlet Knights be a little bit worried about where Rutgers stands right now?
I wouldn't say worried. I think you're always going to be worried when you're trying to bust a streak like this. You know, I think Northwestern fans have this, you know, I'm a Northwestern guy. You have this foreboding feeling that something bad's going to happen. And Rutgers is ready to go and like the world shut down. So they're ready for anything to tear them down. I still think they'll be fine with what's ahead of them. Look, you know, they can make things really simple. And as long as they avoid losing to Indiana, I think they're pretty much a lock. They have a road Nebraska. That's a pretty easy game. You know, if these three games were harder that were left on the Rutgers schedule, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But if they can't win two of their next three, they really don't deserve to be in the NCAA tournament. And so, I think Rutgers should be fine. They have good wins. The road win at Maryland is aging nicely. Sometimes you improve your own wins by losing to them later down the line, which is what Rutgers did this weekend. But you know, this is an elite Rutgers team, but to me, they're pretty clearly an NCAA tournament team, pretty safe, and would have to really, really collapse here not to get into the big dance.
So as we move from the bubble now to the number one seed line, after Michigan's win over Ohio State, as impressive as it was this past Sunday, are they a lock in your mind for a one seed in the NCAA tournament?
Very close to one. Obviously, with five games left, theoretically, you know, if they lost three of them, that would put them in jeopardy. But we haven't seen anything that would suggest that would happen. You know, they're as close to a lock as I could see. I mean, I think they're right there with Gonzaga and Baylor in terms of lock one seed. And they're going to almost assuredly be Big Ten champions now that they are, two games ahead in the loss column of Illinois. So you feel really good about if you're the conference champion of the best conference in college basketball, that you should be a number one seed. They now have the elite road win at Ohio State. Obviously, again, if you know everything fell apart here in the next couple of weeks, then yeah, we could be having a different conversation. But as of now, there is no debate that Michigan will be the third overall seed in my field and could honestly, you know, one Baylor slip up away from being right there for that number two overall spot as well.
And despite the loss to Michigan on Sunday, Ohio State still a one seed in your latest bracketology for Sports Illustrated. You feel pretty confident that the Buckeyes will remain a one seed by the time we get to Selection Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, they have the two big games left, Iowa and Illinois. And those games will dictate a lot because both of those teams you're competing with for the one seed. Now, the big thing that Ohio State has in their favor right now, which is one of the main reasons I kept them above both Iowa and Illinois, is that they have obviously the quadrant one wins, but in particular, they have a road win at Iowa and they have a road win at Illinois, the two teams, again, that they're competing with. So could they lose some of that equity if they lost to one or both of those teams on their home court? Yes, they could. But I think Ohio State's still in the best position of those three to get a one seed. Because of those elite road wins, because of the, you know, holistic resume that they've put together, you know, they don't have really any bad losses. And I guess at Northwestern isn't aging great, but you know, it's not the end of the world. And you know, they certainly looked the part of a one seed against Michigan. That was a whale of a basketball game, and you know, certainly not something that I was going to punish them for losing.
Not only is February about to end, which means that it's March, which means we are on the doorstep of the postseason in college basketball, March Madness, the Big Dance, all of it coming into one. And that's why we continue on with our Bracketology Wednesdays. It also means the weather is going to turn a little bit. Maybe you're going to get outside. Maybe you're going to wear a few less layers. Maybe you need to look after your health a little bit more. And this is the perfect time to do that with Built Bar. But when you focus on your health with Built Bar, you don't give up on the taste because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. 18 amazing flavors. All the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. I have one almost every night of the week, not because I'm worried about my health, although it's a great part of it. It's because I want to have dessert and it's a delicious treat. And that's what I focus on when I go to Built Bar. And I know I can feel good about eating it as dessert almost every night because Built Bars are healthy. They're perfect for the health conscious person looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low in calorie, low in sugar, but they are high in protein and high in fiber. They have all the good stuff you need to leave you feeling good. None of the bad stuff in there to weigh you down. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. And you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. It's Bracketology Wednesday, which means we're covering everything you need to know about the NCAA tournament, March Madness, and how it affects the teams in the Big Ten Conference. But what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast. Each and every Wednesday, it's Bracketology Wednesday here on Locked On Big Ten. Our resident bracketologist, Kevin Sweeney, is like a walking bracket encyclopedia. Listen to his knowledge. You get it every Wednesday here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Speaking with our resident bracketologist, Kevin Sweeney, after his latest bracketology was released yesterday for Sports Illustrated. Check that out. We'll put it in the episode description file so you don't have to go very far to look at it. We just talked about the one seeds, Michigan and Ohio State, out of the Big Ten Conference. Now let's focus on the teams on the two line. And like you mentioned, they both have a shot against Michigan and Ohio State in their remaining schedule. We're talking about Illinois and Iowa. They still have Michigan, Ohio State, and Wisconsin left for both of those teams. If they were to perform well in this home stretch of Big Ten regular season play, do you think Illinois and Iowa could move up that one seed line?
They could. I mean, again, unfortunately, I think they're probably competing with other Big Ten teams because it's hard to envision Gonzaga losing again. And it's certainly hard. It's hard to envision Baylor falling off the one line with the, you know, the completeness of their resume, the fact that they already have a head-to-head win over Illinois. You know, I think those teams are pretty safe. So you're probably competing for that Ohio State spot, but you know, the path is certainly there. And the one thing that the committee may take under consideration is the fact that CJ Frederick wasn't healthy for Iowa for a few games. And those were games that they lost, and Iowa didn't look as very good since. I mean, in the last 2 weeks, Iowa is a top 25 defense. If you look at Bart Torvik's rankings, the last 2 weeks, they are top 25 in defense in those 2 weeks. Before that, they were 156th. So there's been clear improvement there in the last couple of weeks. If they continue to play at that level, they have a very real chance of pushing for that last one seed. And of course with Illinois, we know the talent level, we know their ability. They got to win some of these games against Michigan and Ohio State to prove it. And those will be very, very difficult road games with 4 or 5 on the road. I mean, if Illinois makes a push for a one seed, they will certainly have earned it.
With everything that has happened on the one seed line in the bubble, maybe the most shocking thing out of the Big Ten Conference this week is that Iowa's defense has improved and they are ranked top 25 now in the country, according to Bart Torvik. So two other teams we haven't talked about that you have in your latest bracketology coming from the Big Ten Conference, right there in the middle of the pack, Wisconsin, a 5 seed, Purdue, a 6 seed, both getting wins this weekend. What do you see out of both those programs and their sights on the NCAA tournament?
Wisconsin needed a slump buster, and they got one with Northwestern. You know, it's an easy trip. It was exactly what they needed, and they took care of business. So, you know, again, I'm not necessarily sold on the Badgers. It still feels like they're kind of refinding their identity. I think they had it more early in the season. They're trying to, you know, re-navigate, you know, recenter themselves. And the big challenge for them now is 3 big tests, Illinois at home, Purdue, and Iowa to close the year. I mean, those are 3 tough games. If you lost all 3 of them and you entered the NCAA tournament at, you know, 16-11, 10-10, you could fall off, even though, again, none of those losses are bad ones. It's just the nature of, okay, that's a lot of losses to be a 5 or a 6 seed. So maybe that would knock them down towards the 7 line. But again, if they win one of those or even 2 of them, it could make a big case for a top 4 seed. So the path there, the range, I'd say 4 to 7 likely for Wisconsin. And then Purdue has the benefit of a pretty favorable schedule down the line. And with, you know, so many teams losing, if they could win out, you know, they'd be in a really good spot to jump up into that 5 seed. Again, even the 4 wouldn't be out of the question with some of the teams in that tier continuing to struggle. And, you know, some quadrant 1 difficulties for teams like Texas Tech. And that was one team that was highlighted the other day that I was talking about. But a few other teams in that realm have not done a ton resume-wise recently. And Purdue could just kind of quietly sneak up and wind up a 4 seed comes last time.
And those 2 teams we're talking about right now, Wisconsin and Purdue, meet next Tuesday in Mackey. That could be a favorable matchup for Purdue to improve their seeding in the NCAA tournament. Kevin, you are our resident bracketologist here, so I want to focus on you for a moment. I don't think enough people ask you about yourself during this time. Do these next 2 weeks leading up to Selection Sunday get easier for you or harder for you in terms of predicting the bracket?
So I think the bracket gets easier because it's easier in the sense that you've eliminated more teams and there's a little bit more clarity as to like, all right, we're now dealing with, you know, 8 teams for 4 spots instead of, oh, we've got 20 teams for 10 spots. I think that in itself helps. But at the same time, you're adding this pressure. you're adding this, you're feeling it in your bones of like, oh man, like it's Selection Sunday. You want to get it right. You know, if you're in January, you can be a little bit more opinionated. You know what? I really like Minnesota. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. You get to March, you got to be right on it, and you got to feel on the pulse of the committee. So there's a pressure there, certainly. You know, as the dance gets closer, I mean, I'll start doing kind of live updates to the bracketology. So I think the last week is the plan right now. I will be literally like after every game of note, we'll be like, all right, we're moving USC up one spot. We're moving, you know, X down one spot, you know, whatever we're doing. So, you know, that will be, I think, both good and bad for my mental health. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. I think the biggest thing is that ideally the field will sort itself out. And there have been a few years recently where you look at it and say, all right, I'm pretty confident in who these 68 are going to be. And there are other times where you're like, oh man, like this team is desiring to make me, you know, sweat on Selection Sunday. And I think we've got two in the Big Ten that are really wanting to do that in Indiana and Minnesota this year. So hopefully those teams can either play their way in or play their way out, so I don't have to debate them on Selection Sunday.
How do you personally feel about doing your first bracketology in this year for Sports Illustrated and being our resident bracketologist on Locked On Big Ten in this crazy year being played in the middle of a global pandemic in this college basketball season? Does that make things even that much more tough for you?
Well, I think it's good in that I have less social commitments, so I'm allowed to kind of sit down and hang out with the spreadsheets more often. But no, I mean, in all seriousness, the challenge is there are more uncertainties, right? We don't know about, you know, what are they going to do with home court advantage? What are they going to do with, you know, what are we thinking about a team that played 17 games versus 22? All of these factors that we've mentioned, you know, on the show throughout the last month or so. But at the same time, there is one simplifying factor, and that is everybody in Indianapolis. And that is something that bracketologists I know have always told me, it sucks. You got to figure out where are we sending teams? We got to worry about geography. I don't have to worry about any maps. I can just say, everybody's going to Indianapolis. I see them on the S curve. And if there's a conference conflict, I'll move them around based on that. So, there's good and there's bad. And I think the good thing is that everyone understands that there is a little bit uncertain data this year. So if I swing and miss, I swing and miss, but I still will take it pretty hard if I don't do this thing right. Cause I'm hopeful that we've got the pulse of the selection committee right now.
In my mind, you have the pulse of the selection committee. On this Bracketology Wednesday, there is a game, one game in the Big Ten Conference, only one game tonight, but it's a game that is very impactful for the NCAA tournament and the bubble. And if you want to lay a wager on it, betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. That sports action tonight in the Big Ten Conference is a huge game for both teams' March outlooks. That is Indiana visiting Rutgers tonight. The Scarlet Knights, as our friends at betonline.ag see it, a 3-point home favorite, the over-under total 133.5. As you just heard Kevin Sweeney say earlier in this conversation, if somehow Indiana can go on the road and get a win over Rutgers, it boosts their NCAA tournament resume. If they don't, things are looking a little bit more ominous for Archie Miller and company. However, if Steve Pipo and his crew take care of business tonight, it almost seals the deal. They will for sure be in the NCAA tournament for the first time in almost 3 decades. All of that is on the line tonight, and BetOnline has the best lines and odds and totals and everything you need to bet on this Big Ten basketball action. It has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bet, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So you can get that in tonight and get ready to go for the game between Rutgers and Indiana in Piscataway. Again, the Scarlet Knights, a 3-point favorite, the over-under total 133.5, a hugely impactful game for the NCAA tournament bids of both of these teams, the Hoosiers and the Scarlet Knights. Again, head to betonline.ag and use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So our focus right now, as we get into the home stretch, the final 2 weeks of the regular season of Big Ten basketball, is of course college hoops, but that doesn't mean the college football offseason is stopping. Give a listen to the Locked On College Football podcast on this Wednesday to stay up to date with all the latest moves and news in the offseason. The Locked On College Football podcast, wherever you get your favorite shows. Bracketology Wednesday, though, for the college basketball season continues on right now with our resident bracketologist, Kevin Sweeney. One final question for you, just born out of my own curiosity here. Do you have the teams seeded right now, 1 through 68? Like you have a team at the 57 overall seed, if you were?
Yes. Yeah. So I'll kind of walk you through the process. So I've got two different spreadsheets. I've got the Bracket Watch spreadsheet and I've got the Bracket Builder Tool spreadsheet. So I've got the Bracket Watch spreadsheet. I have a list of every conference and their current auto bid, and I color code those based on whether they have any chance of an at-large bid or not. Then I have my lock at-large team. So like in the Big Ten, for instance, you've got the Big Ten auto bid is Michigan, and you have the lock at-larges are Ohio State, Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin, Purdue, Maryland, and Rutgers. And then I go to the bubble. And the bubble, I have, you know, 25 teams or whatever, and I green out the, you know, 10 that are left that are going to get into the field. In this case, Indiana and Minnesota, the two bubble teams. So I spend all my time on that spreadsheet to make the actual 68 teams. Then I go over to the Bracket Builder tool, which is built by a friend. I have to shout out Eli Becker. I believe might have been on this program. He helped me with the spreadsheet. Is great. You know, it scrapes the net and it pulls all these data for me. It's fantastic. Saves my life. And I go into that spreadsheet and I rank the teams 1 through 68. And once I've got my 1 through 68 spreadsheet, then I go back into the Bracket Watch spreadsheet and I put them all into their seed lines and et cetera. And that's how I found is the most efficient way of not making easy mistakes like accidentally putting Florida State in twice. So, you know, it sounds very tedious. Once you've got it down, it's pretty workable. But yes, I could tell you that the current number 57, since you might have asked, is UNC Greensboro. So UNCG number 57 right now on the seed list.
Shout out to UNCG. Maybe that's how we'll end this appearance on the Locked On Big Ten podcast, but I can't let you do that because as we are recording right now, Kevin, a game is being played in East Lansing in the Breslin Center between Michigan State and fifth-ranked Illinois. Now, the Spartans got a big upset win over Indiana on Saturday, allowing some Spartans fans to say, uh-oh, it's that time of the year, late February, getting into the month they call Izzo in East Lansing. Could they historically turn things around and make a run to the NCAA tournament for the 23rd straight season? What does our resident bracketologist say to the fact of the idea that Michigan State might have a chance, an outside chance at the NCAA tournament?
So the bracketologist in me says they're well off the bubble right now, but they have better opportunities than anyone else to try to change that. So theoretically, again, you know, if they rattle off wins over Ohio State and Michigan and Illinois, that would significantly change their resume more than any team could. Now, the college basketball writer in me says you're out of your mind if you think Michigan State, the way they played this season, does that. But again, the path is theoretically there. And again, is it going to happen? I doubt it. I seriously do. But of course, because they have so many games left because of the COVID issues and combined with the fact that the Big Ten is so good, you know, KenPom projects that they lose all of these games. But if they won like four of them, it's a very different conversation. It would put them at least in the mix.
I'll say this. I don't think Michigan State can outsmart both our resident bracketologist, Kevin Sweeney, and the smartest mind in all of college basketball in KenPom. I don't see that happening. But as you said, if you play in the Big Ten Conference, you have a lot of opportunity. Another Bracketology Wednesday, our third. We're only 2.5 weeks away from Selection Sunday for the NCAA tournament. You can feel the chills just as you're saying the words. Kevin Sweeney, our resident bracketologist, bringing it each and every week. Go to Sports Illustrated. Check out his latest bracket. All the bubble teams making their way up or moving down. We're in that crucial time of the year. Kevin, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Ben.
So many thanks again to our guy, our resident bracketologist, Kevin Sweeney. You can follow him on Twitter at @CBB_Central. Not only an incredible bracketologist, just a great mind covering everything in college basketball. He was telling me after we wrapped up our conversation, he's probably going to watch like 6 or 7 games a night of college hoops for the rest of the season so he can not only check in with his latest information he needs for his bracket, but just to follow along with the sport as a big fan of it and a guy who covers it really, really well. Kevin Sweeney at @CBB_Central on Twitter, our resident bracketologist here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. So today being Bracketology Wednesday, all that bubble talk really intrigued me. That means coming up tomorrow on 2 for Thursday, we check in with two teams on the bubble right now of the NCAA tournament. What two teams? You'll have to wait until tomorrow to find out. That is what they call a tease in the business. You know, though, that we have 2 for Thursday on the horizon. Today was Bracketology Wednesday. Until we get to tomorrow, have a splendid Wednesday. Thank you.